Back Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast features additional content and banter with guests. Back Talk is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
OMG, I just love hearing that. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Wayne Artificial Intelligence Miller.
And this is Back Talk.
It is.
We're real.
I don't know. I think you're a deep fake DeSando.
It could be. I mean, boy, who knows anymore?
Oh, wow. Yeah, and it's getting worse. And since we're in the midst now of a contentious, heated presidential election coming up, who knows what all of the bad actors out there are going to be posting?
Well,
they've already had problems with the Iranians trying to hack into Trump's organization.
The movie is Afraid.
Yes.
And to the consternation of critics, they have to type out the capital A and I in the middle of it.
Yes.
It's very frustrating.
Which I thought was quite cute.
It is cute.
It's almost, brings me to mind so many comparisons to one of our favorites from the past couple of years, Megan. And of course, her name was spelled M-E and then three.
I know. Drives me crazy with my written reviews. Anyway, it's called Afraid. And while I'm not sure they ever proved the fear factor, it's topical. In fact, it's one of those horror films that really strikes home, do you think?
I think so. And one of the things, I'm sure both the artificial intelligence we'll talk about, but also the whole thing, a family-themed movie. And that is not so much for the family, because even though that I would recommend this for anybody, because there is little gore, little violence. The whole family in peril type of genre that I like that
good
we'll
one,
talk
yeah.
about
yeah.
in some
you know,
more
I mean,
too.
It, but, basically what you're saying is it's a family thriller.
Yes, yeah.
You don't have to think about it as being deep artificial intelligence,
right. Deep
sci-fi. You don't have to think that.
No. And, you know, and there's so many movies out there that have kind of hit on AI taking over our lives. And, of course, you know, I know that you put together a list. I got together a list. It'd be interesting to see if some of the ones that I think are really very, very topical for the whole artificial intelligence, you know, type of problem, if we agree.
I begin with 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yes.
And then I go from there.
Yeah. And there's a couple of them throughout the
ages. Well, but...
Because it's been nearly, I would say, a good 100 years. And I go all the way back to the German film Metropolis.
I know.
In 1927, so nearly 100 years of a malevolent robot, if not an artificial intelligence thing, which could take many forms.
Well, one of the provocative things that this movie does, it makes me wonder why they have that awkward little AI.
It
doesn't look like Alexa at all.
Oh, my God. It looks like, you know, you could kind of turn it on its side and cook on it. It looked like some coil of the
burner. Well, it's surely got to be an image of the little figure that comes up if you don't have a photo.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's one awkward thing because I know I've gone to friends' houses who have Alexa and you can barely find it.
Yeah.
It is a spinoff on that idea. And I think every one of us, and certainly I, the first time I saw it, I was impressed. You know, Alexa, play this song.
Yeah.
She plays it. Wow. And, or Alexa, turn off the lights.
Which I think it's so funny because the closest thing I have to that is my little GPS on my phone that gives me nice, like, little chirpy directions to where I'm going, which I kind of like. And I wind up talking to it. Joaquin Phoenix did in the movie Her.
Yeah.
How an Alexa-like thing that has a sexy voice like Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, John, one of the things that's interesting, wasn't really talked about too much in this movie that I thought would have added some to it, and more on that, too, about the kind of skimpy narrative, but reality, the little headgear that people put in on and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting kind of thing
to
explore people getting into this virtual reality, you know, type of gamesmanship.
Well, you know, you and I have shared, and I've told you, I thought this was provocative without providing any answers to anything. It doesn't even dare. It's afraid to get close to any of these topics.
And like you said, the critics, and I read about four or five reviews, including Washington Post and New York Times and Entertainment Weekly. Rarely do any of them like it. And one of the things they hit on that is they think is a real drawback to the movie, they don't believe, and I kind of disagree with them on this, that the characters weren't well-defined. We do find that. They find John Cho and Catherine Watterson kind of wimpish in a way, and the multi-blended family type of
and
thing.
The snarky teenage daughter who's stereotype.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. And the runtime. And they say, couldn't there have been more? What they're interested in is if they have out there, and I believe it was a Blumhouse production, on the cutting room floor, if we get a wind up getting on DVD a director's cut of this, that there may be more to flesh out the characters, flesh out the plot, because the runtime's like 84 minutes, and that includes a 5 minute, as any movie has anymore, end credits.
I know. Well, you make a really good point. If for all of its weaknesses, and its plot is filled with weaknesses, and if you're going to be picky about it, you're not going to like this movie. No. But if you're like us, and fully loaded with food in our private theater.
Yes, munching away on our free popcorn.
But that's characteristic of, we're going to go where the director wants us to go, who also does the story. So, we're going to go with him wherever he wants to go. And by the end of the journey, we'll say, hey, Chris, that was a good one, or it wasn't, or it's me,
I liked it. Because of the short runtime, I did not get bored. And a lot of critics felt it was kind of boring. I didn't think so. I was waiting to see what was around the corner.
Well, what happens in a movie like this, with the 80-some minutes that you're talking about, is that you get topics that need to be fully fleshed out. There's one moment where I knew that this probably wasn't going to be a deeply Space Odyssey movie.
Yeah.
And that was when they're driving along and a car comes next to them. And the guy is looking at his phone while the car is driving.
Exactly.
And so you have two modern technologies working. Yeah. But then that's it.
Yeah.
Now, however, a phone does play a big part in this.
Yeah.
You have that deep porn segment where the poor snarky little...
A teenager,
she's...
unfortunately, what I hear happens to a lot of teenagers anymore, because it's so... With the technology now, it's so easy to digitize somebody's face on somebody else's body.
Well,
not just a photo, which we've done before, if you remember, but a video. You know, how they get so close that it doesn't look too cheap.
Yeah, and exposing how foolish we are with this technology sometimes. Young woman, the teenager, whom I like because she's really recalcitrant and rebellious, she sends a photo of her parts to him. How stupid do you have to be? Do you think this is going to just land just with him? It can get around the world.
Yeah, well, that's true. And it always exists. No matter how much, like little Aya, I believe is how you pronounce her name.
Aya.
And that Aya reassures the teenager that don't worry about it, that she removed it from the internet.
There's no way she was even close to Scarlett Johansson for me. She was.
Well, it was supposed to have been kind of like a younger, type of person in a way. That's how what I got out of The Voice, even though that it was trying to be the substitute mother and bonding quickly because of things that she could do, like helping the mom who to raise her kids, abandoned her doctoral dissertation, and Aya is going to help her.
Right. And I have been involved in plagiarism cases. This is just appalling.
And that's one of the plot lines that could have been explored
more,
even though there were academics. But this whole thing of AI writing your papers now.
Yeah, but I did feel that if there was one place in the movie where they fleshed out more than any other, it was that deep porn segment. I think that they showed the ramifications of that, the devastation.
And the fleshy, fleshed out the character there of the teenager.
No
pun intended.
And the effects that the technology can have, changing lives. All right, Wayne Miller.
Okay.
The movie is Afraid. Yep. What do you advise our audience?
For a short, fun type of movie that you don't have to worry, that you can take your kids to. And I think Actually, even young ones, I would say down to maybe 6 or 7, would appreciate this because we've got the family unit there, and it could appeal to the teenager, the preteen, and the younger.
People like that who go to these movies are not going to be snide the way we are. They're going to accept. They're not going to be as picky. So I think you're right. I think of many ages, the young people are going to enjoy seeing stuff that they live with more than we do.
Yes, exactly. You know, I know I don't.
And how many principals of trying to tell them the ramifications of this? Well, this movie will show you
how
devastating it can be.
I think it is. I think it is a good family film.
In the pantheon of sci-fi films like this, this is low and probably not memorable. And you know, one of the reasons it isn't memorable is that we're so familiar.
As we talked about during its movie time, this goes back, the whole malevolent artificial intelligence, a lot of times taking the form of a robot, goes back nearly 100 years.
You know, yeah.
Germany's Metropolis.
Oh, that's wonderful.
1927.
Yeah.
You had mentioned 2001.
Sure. Now, HAL is probably the quintessential bad boy
AI.
Yes,
yeah. And when that movie, it's kind of funny because even though there had been horror films or murder mystery, whatever, shock films before Psycho in 1960, but that was put that type of genre on the map as in the late 60s. HAL did with 2001, A Space Odyssey.
Sure.
You know, even though that there had been, including, and I don't know, John, if you have this on your list, Forbidden Planet.
It's my favorite sci-fi.
I know it was.
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen. Oh.
Anne Francis. I fell in love with her.
Oh, Walter Pigeon.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
A number of stars there. I even had a Robbie the Robot little toy as a kid.
Yeah. One recently that you fell in love with.
Yep.
And though an old guy like you shouldn't be looking at young women like this. Megan.
Oh, Megan. One of my favorites the past several years. A little bit of an older voice, I believe, in this movie, Aya. Like, if little Megan grew up,
yes,
she'd become a teenager or early 20s.
Well, I dream of Ex Machina.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was very good. Vikander? Yes, that's
first
a good one.
We're aware of her.
Right. Yeah. Well, and let's go back to another one that was very influential, the Terminator.
Oh, you bet. Series. You bet, yeah.
Oh, and this is where the robot really become very, very bad character.
Well, yeah, and Arnie is so glamorous in this as a robot.
Yeah.
It's very easy to identify with it, and therefore easy to see how things could go bad.
Yep. But, John, you know, the one thing, though, you know, we're talking more about robots, but AI, of course, really the main thing is how a computer can take over. And, John, I'm curious if you have this on your list. 1970 with Eric Braeden is starring in it, and he's more well-known from a soap opera. Colossus, The Forbin Project.
Now I remember the name, but boy.
1970.
Yeah.
And basically, it was the Defense Department having this massive, for defense, computer. And the Russians had developed, of course, this is during the Cold War, the Russians had developed another computer like that. And the computers interfaced and decided, you know, they could do a better job running the world than humans.
Well, you know who did a great job with this very topic? Shadowbox.
Yes.
Jimmy had two different, Alexa and somebody else.
Oh, Siri, I believe.
Yeah, and they were battling.
Well, and it was funny, and which I thought was a great line, but one of the critics I read did not like it. They thought, oh, this is how this movie's going to be, that they didn't care for it. Early in the movie when they bring Aya home, and something's mentioned about Alexa or whatever. She's, oh, Alexa, that bitch.
I know, it's a great line. Probably the best line of the movie.
This critic didn't like it, which kind of shows they didn't, kind of like us. Maybe we're lowbrow.
We can be a grumpy group. I'll tell you, too, where they're really nice. Besides Robbie the Robot, you mentioned, what I think is really nice.
Yeah.
There are two of them that strike me as nice, and one is Wally.
Wally,
little cute Wally who falls in love with another robot. He follows her all over the galaxy.
Yes, that was cute, the little thing, and it was kind of like a little bit like one of the droids, as they called him in the Star Wars movies, like R2-D2,
yeah.
And there was one.
Yeah, that one is definitely for kids and very cute, and there's nothing really devastating. The other one is coming up, and it's called Wild Robot.
Oh.
Hear very good buzz about this.
Okay.
This is an AI who gets stranded, and he bonds with animals.
Yep.
And an orphan baby goose.
Oh, well, oh.
I know,
well,
right away.
At least the goose wouldn't need to be worried about being eaten by the thing.
I know, so it's still going on.
Right.
There's no end to this.
No, then there won't be, because we're going to live with this. And some of the other ones you probably have on the list, Spielberg's movie, AI, Artificial Intelligence.
Actually, a pretty smart rendition of all of this. And your buddy Haley Joel Osment is in this.
Oh, yes, God love him. Yes, he couldn't see dead people because he wasn't alive himself.
Well, he's trying to figure out where he's going to belong.
Yeah.
Which is, which I wish them well.
Well, I've had the... But now, here's an interesting thought. Could, even though made from wood, could Pinocchio be an early version of AI? Because in some of the things
I think
that
right.
I read about this, some of the things that critics refer to are movies like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, what? And they said,
In
a way, it's
of course.
Could a reanimated by a scientist figure in as an AI when they're made out of flesh and bone.
And in 1973, blurring the lines between the robots and people was Westworld.
Yes, exactly. Very good point.
Yes.
And I just saw that recently. Yul Brynner, Josh Brolin, Richard Benjamin.
Yeah.
Great film.
Yeah.
But, John, I do, before we get too more into the genres, one thing I promised the viewers I wanted to mention about the whole family as a unit. The most important unit in our society is the family unit. And how better to really tug at the both the emotions and the dread and the fear is having a family in peril like this one. It's a subgenre that can encapsulate a lot of other genres. Like Aliens, like A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
And that family unit. Animal predators, like Hitchcock's The Birds. I had to get a Hitchcock one.
Yeah.
Serial killers, but also ghosts.
Yeah.
Like the ever-popular Conjuring movies and Insidious. But going back to the early 80s, Poltergeist. So the family unit. And that's what really kind of makes this one, it did it for Megan.
Yeah, every time we come across these films, and the heroic films, for the superhero films, they're always looking to get back with some part of family. Usually it's a father looking for a daughter.
Which John Cho did very well a few years back in Searching.
Well, who does Wolverine is the one who's longing for his daughter.
Yeah.
But I see it in so many of them, and you're right. The family unit is really heart of it.
Like what it's Liam Neeson's made a whole genre for himself in those Taken movies.
Although he's not artificial, is he? Is he real? No. I'm beginning to think he's artificial.
He's Irish, so I guess you could call it artificial Irish instead
of an old man running around movies like a young man.
Yeah.
So he's got to be something unusual.
But another one to kind of add to the list of both movies and TV series, that one of the most popular characters on Star Trek, the later Star Trek.
Very good.
With Data.
Brent Spiner, very good.
Yeah, and one of the more popular characters.
I think one of the smarter AIs ever.
Yes, and well played by Brent Spiner.
Yeah, and maybe somewhere in that ether where it's beyond even these would be one that everybody is aware of, and that's Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah, definitely, yes.
You know, he falls in love with a replicant.
Replicants, yes.
Yeah.
Which are, who knows, they could be kind of a version of a mix between like a Frankenstein monster and a robot.
Well, I was just telling you the other day, when my death seems inevitable at some point, I don't think I can avoid it, I'd like to bring everything I have with me. That means you'd be a replicant. All my dear friends, my buds, and my family.
Would love it, but I don't think Patricia would. And your kids would be just one reason to commit, dear old dad.
All right, so it is called Afraid.
Yeah.
and I'm afraid it's going to tank.
I think my fellow
and you and I are always cheerleaders for movies.
Oh, as we are in the not the dog days movies like January could be, but with the dog days.
Yes, this is a time
of summer.
This is a dumping ground right now.
Labor Day weekend is there's a lot out there, and of course, Deadpool and Wolverine are just chewing up the box office, and some to the downfall of some other movies that just aren't.
I'll tell you, it doesn't have artificial intelligence, but Slingshot with Casey Affleck. And Larry Fishburne isn't bad. It's, again, another one of these. You're the dumping ground right now. But yes, if you really are interested in spending time in one of these beautiful theaters, eating some popcorn and just enjoying yourself, this is another one like Afraid that actually can enjoy. Let yourself go. Don't be so darn picky.
Like I said, I enjoyed it. I was slightly, even though I kind of knew that it'd probably get panned by the critics, I was slightly disappointed with the critics. And not so much the movie, because it was an enjoyable nearly hour and a half.
Yeah. So we enjoyed it, and it's called Afraid. So don't be afraid to go to the theater and see Afraid.
Or embrace the technology.
The only thing you have to be afraid of is if you have to come back and listen to us again.